Listener supported. WNYC Studios. All these tears are no longer mine, because you took it all away and you're paralyzing me. I miss those. When Juggalos attack. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, loyal fans of the rap group Insane Clown Posse turn ugly at a summer music festival. And later, a reprieve for a summer music concert series in Brooklyn. And later still, live music from the singer-songwriter known as Chocolate Genius Inc. But we begin with Tila Tequila? Well, 2 weeks ago, the singer and reality TV star was on the lineup for a music festival in rural Illinois called the Gathering of the Juggalos. Tequila was an unusual choice for this event because it's built around disciples of the so-called horrorcore rap group Insane Clown Posse. Those fans call themselves Juggalos, and when Tila Tequila took the stage, chaos ensued. As part of our occasional series on superfans, we'll talk more about this Juggalo subculture in a moment. But first joining us, Camille Dodaro of The Village Voice, who actually attended the Gathering of the Juggalos. Camille, welcome.
Hello.
And Jonah Weiner, who's written about the Juggalos for Slate.com. Jonah, welcome back.
Thanks.
Let me ask you first, Camille, because you were there. I'll ask why you were there in a minute. Why was Tila Tequila there?
Well, Juggalos are not known for their respect for women. It's, there are female followers called Juggalettes, and this was the year that the record label that Insane Clown Posse owns wanted to have a female face.
So the record label called
Psychopathic Records. Yes.
Read into that what you will, folks.
So they wanted to have a female face, and on Friday night they scheduled a ladies' night, which was also called Juggalette's Revenge. It was somebody's revenge, but I'm not sure whose. Also on that bill was Lil' Kim and Tila Tequila, and then some women artists that are affiliated with Psychopathic. Tila Tequila also happened to go to high school with the girlfriend of one of the members of Insane Clown Posse, which was another reason why she got booked. Yes.
But musically, it seems to have been an uncomfortable fit.
It was a terrible fit.
And then when she took the stage, pandemonium breaks out.
Yeah, I was there. I was on stage. I came about, maybe 5 minutes into her performance because I had been at another stage watching Tom Green. And I ended up on the back of the stage, and they were pelting her with all sorts of objects. I mean, everything from, rocks to watermelon to mustard, bottles, cans.
Well, why?
Because she was an outsider, and they felt like Juggalos feel like their gathering, the Gathering of the Juggalos, is for them. That the only place in the entire world that they actually really are among family is at this festival.
All right, now the Tila Tequila incident is getting a lot of the press, but the rapper Method Man was also there and also had stuff hurled at him and was sort of left the stage bloodied. Wouldn't he have been more simpatico with the Juggalo aesthetic?
To a certain extent, yes. I think that was more the product of one person than a whole angry mob. He had also said something disparaging about family, which is their mantra. It's like family, Juggalo. And he said something to the effect of screw family, this is about hip hop. And then that led into sort of angry, confrontation and just a really bad atmosphere. And then somebody pegged him on the head, hit him in the cheek.
All right. Camille Dodaro of The Village Voice was at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Again, the Juggalos, the super fans of the Insane Clown Posse. Jonah Weiner from Slate, Camille talks about a bad atmosphere at that moment when Method Man was on stage. Do you go to an event like this expecting a bad atmosphere? I mean, is that part of the scene?
I think that in part it's not only something that you expect, but it's something that's advertised. There's these long infomercials that Psychopathic produces to advertise this festival. And one of the things that they do is they have comedy nights or, comedy lineups. And one thing they say in that segment of the infomercial is, for all your heckling needs. So that's sort of, more generally what I think part of what happens at this is people come and you know, expect to have some fun at the expense of the people on stage, some of the people on stage. There's some precise system for sort of who gets respect and who doesn't that I don't really understand fully.
Yeah, I mean, there's the, like, people on stilts and magicians. I mean, you know, the Insane Clown Posse does play up the circus aspect of this to an extent.
They do, and that's actually what's really funny is that on the one hand, there's this sort of sense of this poisonous atmosphere, this very violent atmosphere. On the other, there are guys walking around performing magic tricks. There are bouncy castles, and there's a lot of very square sort of county fair grade or birthday party grade diversions going on there, too. So it's sort of this very weird cocktail of, I don't know, sort of goofy fun, and also, hey, while you're at it, throw a watermelon soaked in feces at Tila Tequila.
Well, it did turn toxic, and as one of our commenters, Mozo, points out on the soundcheck page, they were throwing more than rocks. I guess an allusion to the watermelon.
I think that was Camille's reporting, actually.
Yeah, there was a bag of chicken tenderloin. Wow. Everything.
But the commenter goes on to say, you know, don't condone it, not surprising, but why would any promoter put Tila Tequila or Method Man on the same stage with ICP, with an Insane Clown Posse?
Well, I think they recognize that they derive so much from hip-hop that they try to acquaint their fans with the origins of, you know, where their music comes from and where their inspiration. Not all their fans really understand that, and very much only listen to their, you know, their version of horrorcore rap and the offshoots.
Well, so what is horrorcore rap, you may be wondering? Well, here's an example, at least what we can play on the radio, from the Insane Clown Posse.
Grace Malenko. Grace Malenko. Grace Malenko.
The Insane Clown Posse. That's the opening track to the album Great Malenko. The Great Malenko. That's, you know, there isn't a whole lot from this band that we can play on the radio.
So I was going to say that sort of that song that you played there has maybe 1,000% fewer chlamydia references than the typical Insane Clown Posse song.
Now, and yet, Jonah, you have written that. That their fans, the Juggalos, are like the music world version of Trekkies. Now, we think of Trekkies as sort of nerdy guys still living in mom's basement, you know.
Right.
I don't get that feeling from this band.
This sort of, the Tila Tequila, it's sort of hard to square that kind of interpretation that I had about the Trekkies with the Tila Tequila crap-throwing extravaganza. But I think that what I was trying to get at there is that there is this sort of surprisingly dorky undercurrent to a lot of what goes on. And a certain sense, I mean, as with a lot of sort of people who are very aggressive and belligerent, underneath that sort of stony facade, there is sort of a, you know, maybe like a warm, cuddly person who just wants to be loved. But I sort of think there's this other, you sort of go on the internet, you can find all these great videos that have emanated from ICP land. One of them is some like news bulletin where this ICP representative is giddy, really beyond joy, because Jay-Z has made reference to the Insane Clown Posse at a concert. He saw someone dressed like a clown in the audience, and he just said, oh, you look like the Insane Clown Posse. And this ICP, I think it's a DJ, is sort of playing this clip and really enthusiastic. And so you sort of see this real glee at actually getting a certain kind of mainstream acceptance they sort of purport to really not be interested in in other contexts.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of them as super fans, you know, I guess, you know, Deadheads and Fishheads and the Parrotheads, the Jimmy Buffett fan. I mean, they all get really jazzed when their guys get mentioned, you know, in a mainstream way like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And also, just the other thing that I think is actually a really apt comparison, just very quickly, besides sort of Parrotheads, more closely, in fact, maybe their only real relative is sort of emo. And I was thinking about that sort of, there are a few commonalities. One is sort of the uniform, sort of pale skin, makeup, dark hair, or wildly dyed hair. Also, they're sort of both, there's sort of no other sort of musical subculture that's as centrally built around a theatrical display of disgruntled adolescence. And I guess the big difference is that sort of aggression is the dominant mode with Juggalos, whereas sort of weepiness and sensitivity is sort of the dominant mode with emo.
Instead of moping, though, the Juggalos are more into the hurling of fecal matter and stuff like that, at least when Tila Tequila is on stage. Camille, as I mentioned, you were there. You said you were on the stage behind Tila Tequila.
Yes.
What were you doing there?
I really wanted to cover this. This is the 11th year of the Gathering of the Juggalos. It's the one thing that gets no respect from any music critic, any writer, anybody. They're like almost like a forgotten tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you the only music writer there?
The only other press that were there was a reporter from High Times, a reporter from Inked Magazine, and that's about it. So we had the run of the place. We had VIP passes, and that meant I could get backstage. That meant that I was invited at the very end to throw the soft drink that they throw on the crowd along with them. I didn't partake, but I was asked if I to participate because I'd been around all weekend, and there was no coverage at all, aside from me and some YouTube.
So was there did you have some sort of weird fascination with Juggalo culture that sort of drew you to this event?
I mean, to a certain extent, yes. But, I mean, just that I don't think anybody's really humanized, and I realize everything we've said doesn't make them sound very human.
Well, this is the problem, right? They get their one moment of mainstream attention, and it's because they're throwing things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that catches the headlines, and I'm certainly not, you know, condoning or suggesting that that's, you know, a certain behavior, but to them, throwing things is like a mosh pit at a hardcore show. Like, that is their behavior, and that is something they've just done since the third year this thing was on in terms of performers. It is sort of like a reversal of, the ones who are bullied being the bullies, as another writer had just recently pointed out. And it's almost like a behavior. They throw things at each other. They don't just throw things at performers.
There's affectionate crap. I mean, there's a whole lexicon, I think, of crap throwing. There's an affectionate version of it too, right?
Well, not actual. There's no affectionate feces throwing.
Literally feces. But yeah, junk throwing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been talking about the Juggalos on Soundcheck so far. These, you know, the super fans, the rabid fans of the Insane Clown Posse. Let's actually talk to one of them. Jason Schultz is a self-identified, some might say self-confessed, Juggalo. He's also a photographer and videographer based in Brooklyn. Jason, let me ask you, as a follower of the band and as, you know, a member of this culture, what do you make of the events of last weekend? You know, all this stuff being thrown at Tila Tequila and Method Man.
You know, as I think Camille hit the nail on the head. Obviously, no one condones that kind of behavior. Did it happen? Yes. And is that going to be the headline that sort of stands out from the 11th gathering? Of course. I mean, it's not every day that you hear that a watermelon soaked in whatever is thrown on stage. However, what's unfortunate is, I think that when you try to blanket the entire culture or following with a headline like that, obviously you're sort of caught between society who looks at this genre and doesn't understand it. And for the past 15 years or so, people look at horrorcore. I mean, you can even go back to Kiss, when Kiss was, you know, mothers thought it was Knights in Satan's Service. And
right, right.
There's these genres that want an answer. Go ahead.
Okay, Jason, tell me, what is horrorcore? You know, what are we missing? What do we need to know about it?
Well, you know, I don't know if there's an answer that I can give you that you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it, but I'll do my best. You know, there's I'm a huge movie buff. I love anything from action to drama to comedy. Most particularly, I like horror movies. Why do I like horror movies? I really don't know. Maybe it's the taboo. It's the things that you're not supposed to see. It's the things that you don't see every day. It's the shock factor. And I think that this is just the horror genre translated into music, and a lot of people don't get it, and it's not for everybody. But it's for me, and it's for a lot of people out there, you know. And
all right,
and,
Jason. Then what do you make of this sort of striking Insane Clown Posse song and video? The song "Miracles" is this? Mm-hmm. This seems like a really positive thing from these guys. Are they playing with us, or are they turning a corner? What do you think's going on here?
Are they turning a corner? I think they're doing exactly what they've been doing for the past 15 years, and it's sort of, yeah, I think it's playing with the critics, and it's also playing with their fans. I mean, come on, Miracles, they're sort of lampooning themselves, but they're doing it in a fun way, because for every Miracles video you see that is lampooned on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. unfortunately, with this culture, there's going to be something like the Tila Tequila incident. That's just the nature of the beast. There's a cartoon factor to this whole thing. But there's also a very ugly fact to this whole thing, and that's, you know, horrorcore music, I think, is just, it appeals to people because it strikes a chord. There's a, I think, Jonah, maybe you said there's an aggression with today's adolescents. I think there's an aggression with just society in general, and if music is an outlet or a way to, you know, hopefully
to express that. Yeah.
Express that without taking it to the nth degree of throwing things or being abusive, then I'm all for that.
All right. So Insane Clown Posse associated with Detroit's horrorcore rap scene, and maybe stepping away from it a little bit in this song called "Miracles."
In vicious weather, 15,000 juggalos together, and I love my mom for giving me this time on this planet. Take nothing for granted. I seen a caterpillar turn into a butterfly. Miracles ain't nothing to lie. Shaggy's little boys look just like Shaggy, and my little boy looks just like Daddy. Miracles each and everywhere you look, and nobody has to stay where they put. This world is yours for you to explore. It's nothing but miracles beyond your doors. The dark carnival is your invitation to witness that without explanation. Take a look at this fine creation and enjoy it better with appreciation. Crows, ghosts, the midnight coast, the wonders of the world, mysteries the most. Just open your mind and it ain't no way to ignore the
miracles. Is the name of the song from the Insane Clown Posse, and we're speaking today about the Juggalos, the super fans of this band. Involved in an ugly incident last weekend at the annual gathering of the Juggalos, where some things were thrown on stage at Tila Tequila and at the rapper Method Man, both who left the stage bloody. And Camille Dodaro, editor at the Village Voice, was there. And we should probably point out that, you know, Tila Tequila was, for a moment at least, given as good as she got. I mean, you know, she was sort of, it sounds like she was kind of egged on by the response from the audience. And
yeah, she could have left. I mean, as somebody who was standing there, she could have run away immediately. And not to say that, you know, people should have been throwing things, but she completely turned it into a showdown. She was yelling at them, saying, bring it. At one point, took off her top. Mm-hmm. And this was after things were being thrown at her. So it became a showdown. It became kind of an ugly scene. And she challenged mob mentality and lost.
Just a really quick question. Was it mostly boy juggalos?
No. Not at all.
It was
a co-ed...
oh, yes, absolutely.
Co-ed smackdown.
I've talked to so many juggalettes who were absolutely, like, who are talking about throwing things at her.
So they were ticked off before she ever got on. Just the fact that she was on the bill was enough to set them off.
Yes, it was discussed online weeks in advance.
Jonah, before we get too far from the Miracles song, one phrase in that song sticks out, and that is "Dark Carnival." It goes by really quick, but it is that phrase. That's kind of part of the mythology of the Insane Clown Posse.
Mythology / theology or something. Yeah, right. The story goes that the band was formed when Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. How have we gone this long without saying their names? By the way, yeah, Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, who are the two ICP guys, had a vision of a dark carnival coming to town, and sort of putting them on this path towards what, I'm not entirely sure. And later on, they actually said that there was sort of a Christian, they revealed there was a Christian underpinning to what that was, and the Dark Carnival was actually God.
There is a lot to parse here. Yeah. In the band and in the subculture that they have spawned, and we have been speaking with Jonah Weiner, pop music critic for Slate.com, Camille Dodero at The Village Voice, who's written about the incident last week, and with the self-identified Juggalo, the photographer and videographer Jason Schultz on the phone with us. To the three of you, thank you for being with us on this edition of Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
for having us.
Up next, with some help from Senator Charles Schumer, a threatened Brooklyn concert series gets a reprieve. And later, the singer known as Chocolate Genius Inc. treats us to his ultra-rich sound in a live performance. In my yard, I'm ready now. It's been so cold, it's been so hard. I'm ready now.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
For many Juggalos, for whatever reason, they find a sense of community in the music and these annual gatherings. I find that a little scary myself, but asking the artist to take responsibility for how their audience responds to their work is not only preposterous, it's also unenforceable.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.